All right. We have heard the overture to Mozart's Don Giovanni with Riccardo Muti conducting the Vienna Philharmonic, whom our guest says she's seen recently on an opera tour, right?
Yes, in Vienna.
Oh, my. That is beyond exciting.
Well, it was quite a pit band for the Vienna Staatsoper.
Indeed. Well, Cecilia Schieve is with us from Opera on the James, and we're so happy to have Opera on the James participating in this promotion of live opera in our communities, as well as opera on the radio and classical music on the weekends here on the radio. It's just I'm just really glad this all came together and we can do things like talk about these upcoming productions, particularly in my case with somebody who knows what they're talking about, because I don't. So we get an expert, if you will, to explain things to our audience and build the anticipation. And,
well, I would love to say I was an expert, but as my mentor told me many years ago, when you go into opera, you have to accept being ignorant for your entire life because you'll never learn as much as you need to know.
Well, it's a matter of degrees.
It is a matter of degree, and hopefully all these years I've learned something.
I'm sure you have, and I know you've learned a lot more than I have. So I'm a conveyor, perhaps, but not. I just can't speak in informed terms as you can for working with it all the time. And what is your job with Opera on the James? Exactly?
I'm general director. I've been there since 2010.
And that we were talking before we went on the air about the spokes and the wheel. General director calls in a lot of different talents that you've built up over the years, right?
It's something I particularly enjoy because it allows me to use my artistic experience, producing experience, business experience, and the love of trying to make sure everyone hears and gets to know opera altogether.
Is there any one aspect that you look forward to in your daily and seasonal tasks more than anything else?
It's the moment, and it can be from a toddler to all the way up to someone who's never heard opera in their 90s before, that moment where the light bulb goes off and people see and hear and feel something they haven't before.
Wow. Well, that is. I don't know if it's a fair comparison. I'm thinking when we do our fund drives, we always keep track of the first-time givers. Mm. Oftentimes, they're not first-time listeners. They've been listening for quite a while. Do you have a way of tracking or just looking out in the audience, I suppose, at age groups and things, to know when new people are coming to opera in Lynchburg and being exposed for the first time? Do you have any feedback on things?
We have some data on it, certainly. Uh-huh. But because we do so much outreach work, a great deal of it is brand new. And now that we've been in schools for a while, we can have kids. And when we first ask them, who of you have heard an opera, hands are going up all over the place. And that is a joy.
Yeah, that's a good sign. Well, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming season. It's your 13th season for Opera on the James now, not yours, mm-hmm. but the company itself. And you mentioned outreach. You've got several things aside from the actual productions.
Yes, we do main stage, of course, because that's the core of the mission. But we also have a mission to share opera and make it accessible. So we have a very large outreach program, virtually all free in schools, communities, libraries, elder care, everywhere from restaurants to community markets. Mm-hmm. And then we have, of course, ways to help fund it. So we have fundraising events and lectures and other things to enjoy for any particular way in. You know, since opera is music and theater and drama, all of those design and dance wrapped up, we try to serve everyone's interests.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow you have an event at Westminster Canterbury.
We do in Lynchburg.
Opera up close, what is that?
One of our board members, Betty Chambers, is an experienced educator and opera lover and has taught Italian through opera as one of her joys. And she does this tremendous presentation that jumps through Italian opera in a way that is so engaging, from cartoons to grand moments. And it's a way to hear things in a new way and realize that you've known more about opera than you thought you did because you've heard it not knowing it. And there's always extra surprises with Miss Chambers.
Okay. That sounds like fun. That's at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yes.
And let's see, then you've got an event coming up on the 23rd on a Monday evening at Isabella's.
Dinner with the Dawn.
Okay.
And when I spoke with the owner of Isabella's, we were talking about this particular event, which features our Tyler Young artist singing as well as dinner. It's a fundraiser. But because Mozart had been living in an area that became Austria, you know, in Salzburg for a long time, and the opera set originally in Spain, although we're updating it to urban USA. And it's sung in Italian. It's a mix of all those different foods in a beautiful way to make the evening fun. And the Tyler artist, who start the day before on their contract, will be singing.
Oh, right. And another opera up close on the 5th.
This is called Stars of Don Giovanni.
Okay.
And this is an opportunity to hear the stage director talk about his concept for the piece, and then we promo sections of the opera so that one can become familiar with them and see the singers in their real personalities and learn a little bit about them before they go into character and sing the piece for you.
Mm-hmm. And then we're up to opening night, which has got to be exciting. Would that be, should we hear another piece here to kind of get into the actual opera?
Well, since we are talking about Don Giovanni himself, the piece we're going to hear is something that your listeners will likely recognize, the tune La Cidrella Mano, where Don Giovanni talks the lovely young farm girl Zerlina into going away with him.
Oh,
Such wonderful music from Don Giovanni, and yet listening to it on the radio, playing a CD is so much, I don't want to say limiting, let's just say different than when you see it and hear it in person. And that's something I want to explore just a little bit. Our guest is Cecilia Sheave with Opera on the James, and you were just telling me how intimate these productions can be for the audience, in that you really see a singer who's also acting at the same time. That's got to be difficult at the very least, and challenging.
Well, I mean, it makes casting interesting, certainly.
Well, I know. How do you find people who are good doing that? Obviously, I guess they have experience, so you know they've done it before. But how do you test that? How do you select and find somebody that can tell the story and also present great music?
It's keeping your antenna alert all the time, you know, because your ears are judging music and your eyes and your sense of resonance to what someone is performing has to be as alert. So in auditions or when I'm in other companies watching artists, when I'm watching videos, it's all about not only what I hear, but what they can make me feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we should talk a little bit about the story as we listen to these arias and other music. Mozart called it an opera buffo, I believe.
Dramma giocoso. So it's a cheerful drama, or a funny, is kind of a lighthearted drama, which is hard to think of since it starts with a murder and ends with being dragged to hell. But in between, there's lots of fun and some not quite so much. So it's the both worlds going along together.
Who is this Giovanni character, this Don Juan type? Is Lothario the word, or he's a real cad?
He certainly is. He certainly is, and he's someone, you know. You think of him or that type of person as supposedly a great lover, but being a lover has nothing to do with it. It's the numbers.
Okay.
It's the thrill
conquest
of the seduction,
yeah,
and moving on, and and that's really, as Leporello says when he's trying to tell Don Elvira why she should not try to follow Giovanni. His book has nearly 3,000 names to date.
Oh, dear. So. And who do you have playing the title role here?
Kevin Wenzel, who has done Giovanni before and is tremendously skilled and a wonderful singing actor, which mm-hmm. is important at all times, but especially in an ensemble cast, so that they're going to be bouncing off each other. That's a mix of returning artists and new artists. And I can't be happier with them.
I guess you go to the rehearsals, right?
I am. I'm at all of them.
And I guess that's a third talent besides singing and acting, is how they interact and how they play off of each other.
And, you know, that's what today's opera singer does. You know, it's something they learn to do very quickly. You know, you jump into a city, in 2.5 weeks you go from "Hello, my name is" to "Closing Night." And it's a skill they develop, but they engage in a way that's so powerful. They go all in. They're there together. They talk about it. They argue about it. They talk to the director. They mm-hmm. You find them in the kitchen talking about what they're doing during one of the conversations or recitatives in opera. They're all in, and it shows.
Who are some of the other stars that will be on stage?
I'm thrilled that Ariana Wyatt, who is at Virginia Tech and a marvelous artist, is returning to us. She was Norina in Don Pasquale for us a few years ago, and an exquisite musician. She's singing Donna Anna, which is one of the very difficult roles because you're out there suspended in the high notes that have to be so limpid and so emotional and beautiful, as well as be able to rip off coloratura, and she can do both. So I'm very, very happy with that.
Anybody else in particular?
Many. There's 8 of them.
Okay, well, each should get his or her due.
And a new Leporello, who's first time doing the role, Calvin Griffin out of New York, and he brings a great athleticism and acting skill to a beautiful singing performance. So I'm looking forward to having him craft his first time in the role with us.
Okay.
And that's one of the ways that Opera and the James, as a small company, can have such wonderful artists, is finding those singers who are well-established but want to try out something new. And we offer a safe place to do that. So it's a nice mix as we go from the well along the way in their career to the rising artists and have them here with us to be able to share that with our local chorus and small supporting roles. So we're all working together.
Excellent. Is the lady you just mentioned involved in this next aria?
No, this is Don Elvira who comes in. She comes from far away, tracking Don Giovanni. She thought she was married to him, so I don't know what happened with that. And occasionally, she arrives pregnant in some productions, as she will in ours, which is set in 1950s, kind of an urban USA feel, which is very different from our normal traditional work. And we'll balance that with our Così fan tutte in the spring, which will be gorgeous and traditionally set. Okay. But she does arrive pregnant. And at one point, the singer that just sang with Don Giovanni, that Serlina character, this is Don Elvira telling Serlina to get away from him. It says, flee the traitor, fuggi il traditor.
We're talking about and listening to music from Don Giovanni, which will be the first production of the new season for Opera on the James. And Cecilia Sheave is with us here in the studio at WVTF Music. And we're so glad you could come over and join us today because we're finding out a lot of cool stuff and hearing some great music as well. And Mozart, as with so many things, wasn't very old when he did this, and yet it's just such a masterpiece. How do you have any idea? Could we get into his mind on how he would create these characters and bring this kind of a story?
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could?
Yeah,
This opera was one of his three collaborations with Lorenzo da Ponte, his favorite librettist, an enormously skilled librettist. And these three operas, which are Nozze di Figaro and Giovanni and Così fan tutte, are particularly finely drawn because da Ponte fed Mozart such great characters for him to enliven that it was a particularly wonderful collaboration. Mozart, used to speak of the fact that he heard everything in his head and all he had to do was write it down. I can't conceive of that, But that's what he said he did. It just happened, and that's a magical thing, and we get to benefit from it. With Mozart, particularly, and why I'm so grateful that we are often able to share it with audiences, is he takes an incredible intuitive knowledge of people and makes you understand something about them. So he doesn't just tell a story, and the orchestration doesn't just say, oh, now you can hear the night birds, but it really tells a story through the hearts and minds of the people who are living it, and we live it along with them, and that's an unusual gift.
Let's see. There's so many things I want to ask about, but I want to keep some kind of order to this.
Opera's messy, don't worry about it.
Okay.
And there have been a plot twist or two where you think, say what? But no.
Well, we've talked about opening night, and we've heard some music, and that's on Friday, November 10th. And then the second performance is on Sunday afternoon, November 12th at 3 o'clock. In between, though, you have something on the 11th a Saturday afternoon called a Free Family Day. Can you tell me
we
what
do.
That is?
This is our fourth year doing this particular event. And we do it in our rehearsal hall, where we have multi-generations in, and everything from carpet squares to rocking chairs. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that families can come together, because we do so much schoolwork, but that's separate from family. And sometimes, you know, when a child goes home and someone says, what'd you do today? I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. but this takes it from, you know, from the rehearsal hall or a performance to what I call around the kitchen table. You okay. get enough people to talk about it. And it is our elementary school tour. This year we're doing Bremen Town Musicians. And the children and their families are there. We do art. We have a lot of handout materials. Mm-hmm. We have a reception where the singers sit down on the floor with their juice boxes with the kids. And it's what I call a delightful free-for-all. The music happens. The children are there. We've got crawlers coming up towards the stage. But the joy and the ease of it is so exciting to be a part of. Mm-hmm. It's really a privilege to be able to watch a child's face when that voice first comes out and they go, whoa!
Yeah.
You know, it's a moment. And it's important that the moment be of such a high quality mm-hmm. so because you want to plant a seed of beauty to start with.
Right. That's one of those memories that when we get older, we don't really know where it started maybe or remember that yeah. time, but it's just there.
And but it's think, there.
Yeah. That's
and it's a privilege
important.
To be able to make that possible. Just to add it, someday someone will turn a dial, you know, and go from one type of musical genre to another, and there'll be a resonance.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's on the 11th, a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock for the Free Family Day. I guess it's free.
It is free.
Since it's Free Family
it is
Day.
Free.
Okay. And then, of course, looking ahead, and I guess we'll have time other times to talk about some of the other things later in the season. There are programs in January, Dueling Divas and Desserts. Sounds like a lot of fun. You mentioned Cinderella. That's
yes,
going to be
for the family version
in,
yes.
In January. And then Così Fan Tutte in March, the continuation of the Mozart season.
Two incredibly different ones.
Mm.
And that's fun to end with that.
Talk about tickets and what people should do to plan on enjoying Don Giovanni with Opera on the James.
Our website, operaonthejames.org, is certainly open for sale. And if there's any kind of question, or if you're a student and wants a student discount or a subscriber, then the discounts are by calling our office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 434-528-3397, and one of my colleagues would be happy to make that happen. I also just love talking to people. Call me up.
Okay. So, I love talking with you. I thought this was fun. By the way, our interview will be, I like to call them conversations and not interviews. Interview sounds like 60 minutes going, tell me about this opera. But this conversation will be on our website sometime Monday or Tuesday, I guess they'll go about. I don't know how to do it, so I have to turn it over to somebody else who's expert in such matters. But if you just joined us and you wanted to hear everything we've talked about and hear some of the music again, what you'll do is go to WVTF.org, look for under music and find Weekend Classics, and that's where you find our playlists as well as interviews and conversations and other things that might relate. And it'll be there, I guess, then for the next 80 or 90 years. I don't know if those things ever go away.
Well, Don Giovanni has been in the top 20 playlist internationally for mm-hmm. over 100 years.
Wow.
In performances. There's a reason it is always on the boards somewhere. And whether we're on the radio listening to it or hopefully at a performance where we can respond to others enjoying it at the mm-hmm. same time, it's certainly something to hear. My favorite quote about praising it actually isn't from a musician, although Rossini said he wished he had written it, and many other musicians have certainly praised it. But the writer Gustave Flaubert, you know, famous for Madame Bovary, among other things, said that Don Giovanni, Hamlet, and the sea were the three greatest creations God had ever made. So you can't top that as a recommendation from
Flaubert. No, it's pretty strong. Okay.
So, but Giovanni is, if you haven't been to opera before, you're going to get hooked on this one.
Right. Looking ahead just briefly before we play the conclusion, are there some pipe dreams, things ahead for Opera on the James that you'd like to do? Do you
have always.
Favorite projects? That
always.
You
I'm someone
bring?
Who lays awake at night or lies awake mm-hmm. at night and thinks of fun
okay.
things. You know, this year we're in the Warehouse Theater at the Academy Center of the Arts, which is a black box, you know, very, very intimate. Mm-hmm. Next year in the spring, they're opening the Historic Theater. So moving into that. Looking at party pieces for a giant splash, perhaps La Traviata, and more and more community work, because we're looking at doing some small contemporary things in different venues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very exciting.
Okay. Well, keep us up to date, and we'll keep folks up to date. And I expect we'll be talking again about the future projects. This concluding work we're going to hear is near the end of the opera.
Yes.
And
You'll hear some of the chords that you heard in the overture, those great big D minor things that are the commendatore who got himself murdered in the beginning. You know, this is the part where he comes back and invites Giovanni to change his ways, which he does not, and eventually ends up going to hell.
And there's a little added part which we're going to let play out.
Yes, where all the characters talk about what just happened.
Okay. Now, for a long time, maybe 200 years, that was left off.
Correct. They used to end with Giovanni going to hell. You know, and you'll hear Giovanni say, no, no, no. He's not saying no to the commendatore. He's saying, no, I will not change.
Okay.
And then Leporello tells everybody else what happened. And they say, oh, okay, moving on. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And then it ends almost at a happy ending.
Okay. So that is... The ending is back in vogue now, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we're going to hear that as well as this concluding scene where he may but may not change his ways.
Yeah. tempo non ha scusate. A torto di viltate, tacciato mai zelo. Dite di no! O ferma il cuor in petto, non oggi morre, verrò.
Magnificent, the conclusion to Don Giovanni, and that again was the Vienna Philharmonic and Riccardo Muti conducting. Cecilia Sheave, this has been delightful. I love finding out things and meeting interesting people, and you've been wonderful.
Enjoyed and you as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good luck, and as they say, toy, toy, toy with Don Giovanni coming up on November the 10th and 12th at the Academy Center for the Arts, production of Opera on the James in Lynchburg. And thanks for bringing the music, too. That was...
Isn't it wonderful?
That was a big help, and I think our audience really enjoyed that.
Well, for those first opening D minor chords of the overture, you know what you're in for.
Exactly.